Hatfield & Company is live at the Golden Nugget Las Vegas for Football Friday with the big boss man, Tony Miller.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into this. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap playing tonight at the Golden Nugget, 8 o'clock. I was around the vast Lotus Broadcasting sound crew when they were rolling this in, and, man, I sang it the rest of the day. We got to do this in karaoke. I don't know if we can do it. That guy can sing. Holy crap.
And he sounds just the same today.
No.
Exactly.
He can still do that?
Oh, very well.
This is, we're talking like 68, 69, 70. These guys were freaking massive. Holy cow. He can still belt it out.
He belts it out really well.
Wow. All right. Well, yep. I'm going to get into them a little more in a couple minutes. We were just talking to Mark McMillan about his grilling.
Mm.
Tony, you barbecue guy?
Not very well. Attempt to.
He's going
to
teach us.
Man.
I know.
Nobody grills around
what?
This piece,
what do you mean?
Huh?
I grill you, but then you're ripping the crap out of me because it's gas.
That, no.
I do
no,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, you're grilling, but you're grilling the wrong stuff.
Damn it. All right.
You're grilling food that's already cooked.
You're not supposed to use gas?
Nah.
What do you use?
I use charcoal. Or wood.
Wood.
Nah.
Wood?
For a good barbecue, you got to use wood.
Wow.
You got to smoke it. Pecan, apple, mesquite.
Okay, I told you, I have a smoker. It's gas, but you're smoking with wood. Still the gas ruins it, huh?
It's still gas.
All right. Well, screw it. I guess I'm getting a freaking giant bag of charcoal, and let's do this.
Wow.
I'm in. You did ribs last week.
Yeah, I did ribs.
What kind of ribs?
Pork ribs, baby back ribs, spare ribs.
And you smoke them or you like
smoke them?
How long does that take?
4 or 5 hours.
Hello. That's the other problem with smoking. Like, I love it, but I am like, I go 100 miles an hour every day, and I can't think too far ahead.
You're like the hamster in the wheel.
ADHD.
Yes.
You got to slow down. If you want good meat, you got to slow down.
So basically, if you smoke on a work day, you just throw stuff in there like what? Like one?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, so I already know. I already know the right temperature. Once the temperature hit the right degrees, I'm good. Just set it on there and forget it. Now they got new grills. They got these grills. Now you could just turn the Maybe you need to get one of those.
What's that?
You could just set it and forget it.
Okay.
They got those new pellet grills.
Tony, I'm learning.
I'm still on hot dogs and hamburgers.
Oh, my goodness. Come on, Tony.
I'm good at it, though.
You got a good grill, dog?
Just like, you know, drilling those hot dogs, turn them. Oh, yeah.
What are you doing with your hands right now?
I take a knife and I, like, you know, take.
He's killing the hot dog.
Put a little twirls,
banana.
Little twirls in the hot dog, man.
I've never seen nobody peel a hot dog.
It's all right. Tony and I can teach Mark how to do shots.
That's right.
Tony's good at that.
What kind of, you talking about basketball shots?
No.
Oh, you know, I don't do that.
Line them up.
Yeah. Those was back in my NFL days.
Line them up and throw them down.
Yeah, those are some bad days.
He's good at shots and selecting songs on the jukebox.
That's right.
Because I'm not allowed to, so.
Yeah, he's actually blocked it.
You're banned.
One of our favorite places.
What did you do?
I mean, there's questionable language in some of the music I listen to.
What I've done is I try to make up for the Adam Hill ban at this joint, so I'll play some hip-hop, and immediately when I'm there, everyone's like, Cofield!
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just trying to mix it in. Everything doesn't have to be like some classic crooner.
Big man, you're all over the board with the jukebox.
I know, I mix it up.
You're,
I try to throw people off.
You are good.
I'm a decent DJ on the...
So you get out on the ones and twos? On the turntables, too?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm bringing my turntable.
I'm going to hit my guys up. By the time we're done, I'm telling you, by the time we're done, we're going to be barbecuing at the crib. You're going to be flipping burgers. And you're going to be twirling. You're gonna be mixing it up on the ones and twos.
All right, Tony, tell us about this weekend, because we got Gary Puckett. That's one crowd, right?
That's a different crowd.
Then we got the Life is Beautiful crowd. You walked up, and you're like, this place is a madhouse. These people are crazy.
It's insane, man. You know, there's two things a year. It's Life is Beautiful and the Electric Daisy Carnival, and those crowds come in, and these kids can party, man. They're having a ball, and they're all over the place, and they're ready to run, and it's pretty cool. Wait till you see Fremont tonight. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
Adam, who's the best person playing?
Oh, it's Chance tonight.
It's Post Malone Sunday.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It's Chance the Rapper tonight.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, is that right?
Sunday.
Okay.
Toto.
Wait, Toto Sunday too?
Yeah.
My God. How late do they start?
We got to go.
Chance is at 11:35 tonight.
Because the SO is going to see Post Malone, and she was getting all freaked out because people were saying he wasn't starting until like 1 o'clock.
11:35. I think so, yeah.
All right, that'll work.
That's the headliners most, I think all three nights is 11:35 till 1. It lasts till 1.
Mark, is this too hip for you, brother?
Man,
I know you're a little older than us.
He said Post Malone. I'm looking at my man like, man, he got some swag.
Okay.
Leave it swag.
He actually wasn't giving him credit. He was saying Chance the Rapper's better.
Well, of course he is.
I think Chance the Rapper is better. I would go with Chance the Rapper, but I'm not going to stay up to 11:30 and hear him. I'm not going to do that. I just pump him on the iTunes or something.
What about
like that.
Now if you want to get real hip? Now, this is not cool hip, I think, but real hip, Billie Eilish is tonight too, which the kids get down with the Billie Eilish. Like, no,
you're
going to
be in there. You're going to be in the mix.
Who's he? First of all, it's she. She's 17, and she's like, I don't know, if you want to go to like your generation, maybe even after, like she's like the new Alanis Morissette almost. Well, that's the that's the comparison, maybe.
So that's why all these little teeny boppers are walking around then, probably.
They're here for the whole thing. The whole weekend is just there's acts on right now. There's comedy tents. There's lecture halls. There's music stages all over. It's crazy.
We should have been in the mix.
You think?
We should have been up in there.
We can barely control this crowd. You imagine? Right in the middle of the Life is Beautiful crowd.
I'll send you photos.
Tony Miller's here, Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director. 11 restaurants here, I think, 11 different dining options. You got another one coming in?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, who cut this deal?
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be right over there. I can't wait.
Really? Right, in the back of the property?
Mm. Oh, right, yeah, right down the hall.
They got some good hot fries.
Oh. So you put them kind of close to where we are, just like, hey, you guys, this is
I got
for
you guys, man,
thank
don't
you.
Worry.
Ooh, that Chick-fil-A
appreciate
sauce.
It.
Adam Hill never missing a Football Friday show again?
Nope.
We'll be loaded up.
Nuggets on deck, huh?
Oh, Chick-fil-A is so good.
All right, Tony, let's talk some NFL, right?
Okay.
First of all, what kind of action do you get when you got a historic weekend like this with two ridiculous spreads with the Patriots and the Cowboys games?
Still a lot, especially the Cowboys. Very public team. Patriots are still very public. So, yeah, you know, there's going to be nothing but parlays and teasers going to these two teams, you know, bringing the spread down. But absolutely, those are two very public teams nonstop.
People playing the sides?
Yep, they play the sides. Hey, they probably don't care about the spreads. Trust me, they're using them in all the parlays no matter what. We get some money back on the other side with the sharps, but more public accumulation than anything.
Could this be, if the Cowboys and the Patriots cover, is it potentially a record-setting loss for Vegas? Could you guys just get smashed?
No, I don't think so, because I've gotten some sharp money on both the dogs. So we're pretty balancing it, you know, the book out as far as we're concerned. But there'll be parlay liability going to those.
Is there going to be money line parlays on those two teams?
Sure, there will be. Everyone likes
to
shoot. Come on.
What is it? What is it for each team? Like minus -3,500?
Yeah, yeah. I think I heard yesterday it's $100 to win seven if you do a money line parlay.
Yeah, but we get that every week. Big college favorites, big pro favorites, and you get them on the other side.
I think you're short on that number because the money line on both the Jets, what I've seen, the money line, well, Tony could probably tell us, the money line on the Jets to win or the Dolphins to win, I think is like 15-1. So you're getting plus +1,500.
Yeah, you're getting that. You're going to be laying a lot more money than that.
Yeah. So you're not laying 14 or 15.
The better odds are on the other side, getting the two dogs in.
Yeah, $5 parlay to win like $1,000.
Shoot a BB at the moon, man.
I like it. Did Antonio Brown have any impact today on the number?
No.
Wow. Yeah. Could you imagine it goes 23 to 22 and a half? Kind of move it down a half?
Nah, I mean, you know, first of all, we kind of see, you know, whether he was going to play. Well, everything's up in the air. And, he didn't have any impact whatsoever.
He's done. He's cut. He's released. He's out.
He's out. He's
no
finished.
Longer on the Patriots. How about the future book?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Okay.
No. We got low on the Patriots as 5-2. But that was too low for me, so we had him at 3-1. We kept him at 3-1. We'll probably go back up a little bit.
I heard another book had moved it immediately from Pat's Super Bowl 3-1 to 4-1. Pat's AFC even to 140.
Yeah. We'll probably end up around 4-450.
All right.
Chiefs are 4.
All right.
So what will be the – I know we talked about this with some other – sportsbook directors, but the biggest game of the week it's always going to be primetime games in isolated spots. Kansas City, Baltimore, the most intriguing game to bettors this week.
Oh, for sure. Everyone's intrigued with Lamar Jackson and Mahomes, two young guns going against each other, two good teams, and maybe an AFC conference preview.
If it does end up being a preview of the AFC championship game, and obviously a lot can change between now and then, but how much will this game potentially impact what we see number-wise then?
Oh, for sure. People always remember the game they played against each other, the head-to-head. The Chiefs blow them out, then that number will probably be a little bit higher come game time in the conference championship. But, you know, Baltimore does have a good defense. Harbaugh's a good coach, and, we'll see what happens.
We always close with Tony Miller with TV Time with Tony. You and I are both lunatics when it comes to binge-watching and watching all these series. So what's in the rotation right now?
Big man, I'm catching up on things, getting ready for the new season starting next Monday night. I got my DVR set on all these new primetime shows. I did start with American Horror Story the other night, 1984. Wasn't impressed with episode number one, but yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I'm all jacked up about next week.
Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
Right.
Ridiculous. Very funny. A lot of wiener, though. A lot of, I don't know why, but they have a lot of wiener. A lot of naked small wieners. And I know, look at Tony was like, okay.
Okay, we're talking about hot dogs.
And I know
here we are again. Let's get in hot dogs.
I came full circle. The other one is called Unbelievable. It's on Netflix, and it's about a serial rapist. It's pretty incredible.
Wow. I got to check that out.
Check it out.
Yeah, man. I'm just getting ready to get into it, man. You might not see me much over the next few months.
I'll stop. I'll see you. Believe me.
All right.
I know where to find you.
You do.
We'll be throwing down some shots. All right, come on down here to the Golden Nugget. Bet with Tony. He's going to have the good numbers up. Oh, one last game. What's going on with Georgia and Notre Dame? Is there any Notre Dame money? Because this thing fired right through 14, right to 14 and a half.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of, public money on Georgia, of course. But, you know, I get some sharp play on Notre Dame. So it's going back and forth. That's one of the games where, you know, the accumulation is on Georgia and the sharps are on the dog. So it's pretty balanced out to me.
All right, Tone. On the way back, we're going to go out to L.A., get a little more on this USC-Utah game, and also find out if Clay Helton could be on the chopping block with a disastrous game tonight.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
A play fake and a clean platform. Look at that ball. Complete to Keithy. Down the left sideline. Now cuts in. Keithy. Touchdown.
Football Friday on Fremont Street. It's Cofield and Company from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
All right, we got a big game on tap, USC and Utah. Yeah, a lot on the line for USC this year. Clay Helton trying to save his job. Sports by Brooks. Brooks, our insider in LA, joins Cofield and Company on this Friday. All right, Brooks, so I saw your tweet earlier today. If Clay Helton were to get just annihilated tonight, he could be in trouble, huh?
Yeah, and I'll actually put kind of a number on it, not a specific number, but, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. In fact, I do not think it will happen. But if they get beat, let's just say by over 5 touchdowns. Now that sounds a little ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous. Believe me, I understand it. It's always possible, though, when you look at USC and the state of the program. God knows anything's possible these days. But if it is a total, complete embarrassment. He will be let go after the game. I think that you have to look at the bye week as well, leading up to the Notre Dame game. SC plays Utah, of course, tonight. Then they go on the road to Washington. If they're embarrassed in both of those games, maybe not to the extent of 5 touchdowns, but they're completely inept, I think the bye week is when the axe could fall. But, you know, I mean, hey, look, there's always a chance. Are you saying there's a chance, right? There's always a chance that this is a talented team. They've got a good-looking quarterback. But I think the BYU game was really a litmus test for the program, that Clay Helton to this day just has not buttoned things up sufficiently. That's a game they absolutely should have won. And I think that was really the beginning of the end of his time at USC.
Is there anything he can do at any point this year to save his job? I mean, obviously, yeah. If they won every game, but...
Win every game, and I think that's about it. And win every game, and you know what? As crazy as it sounds, I think he has the talent. I think he has the roster to do it, and I think that they have the semblance of a scheme to do it. The team looks significantly better so far this year since Slovis came. Well, I shouldn't say that. Since they installed the air raid offense, and they have a coherent offensive scheme, the team looks better. But it's just not, guys, it's just not a program. It's just not buttoned up to the extent that it should be a program. It reminds me a little bit of Will Muschamp at South Carolina. You know, you've got a lot of the signs of a great program, but things just aren't accounted for. There's things that happen during the game, the sloppiness, the special teams, the things that just make you go, huh. That happens every single week with USC, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better.
Brooks, who is the leader right now in your mind in the athletic director search for Southern Cal?
I don't think there is a leader right now. I mentioned on my show today that there's some people on the new president, Carol Folt's wish list for possible candidates, and they include Patrick Chun at Washington State, Rick George at Colorado, Joe Oliva, the former LSU AD, and Rob Mullins at Oregon. So if Patrick Chun gets the job from Washington State, that means Urban Meyer is going to be the next head football coach at USC. But personally, I don't think Patrick Chun is going to get the job, and I don't think Urban Meyer ultimately is going to be the guy who gets the job at USC for a lot of different reasons, and I think it's somewhat mutual at this point. It may not look like it right now, guys. We're kind of at peak Urban, right? Right now, with, of course, the Fox broadcast, the Coliseum, Reggie Bush coming back, Urban's on hand, controversy swirling. And if ever there was a moment that it seemed like it was almost like this, royal succession ceremony, in a sense, you know, even though it's not going to happen immediately, I can tell you that if you're thinking that, or people are out there are thinking that, and I've thought that in the past, guys, it's time to pump the brakes. Because in making a lot of phone calls over the past week, I was a true believer that Urban would get that job. I'm not anymore.
The rest of the wish list, or at least candidates, we're looking at guys like, what, Mark Jackson at Villanova, Rick George, anyone else?
Well, Mark Jackson is a guy from Villanova, and I think it's wishful thinking if he were to get the job, because he worked at USC as an athletic department staffer. And I think if you have that taint on you, the new president, Carol Folt, is a zero-tolerance person. And you got to remember, the college admissions scandal is still looming. And also remember, specifically, the USC football program, including individuals within the program right now, have been named in the FBI and the DOJ criminal report investigation, but not so much named. They're unnamed, but they've been cited as having participated in the college admissions scandal, but the DOJ has not specifically named them for whatever reason. Perhaps they're cooperating. I don't know why. But we know that there's some people inside that organization right now at USC that are connected to the college admissions scandal, believe it or not. So I think you're going to see Carol Folt really clean house. And when it comes to the AD, Steve, I think it's kind of an incidental hire. Carol Folt and a guy named Rick Caruso, remember that name. He's the chairman of the Board of Trustees at USC. And Rick Caruso right now is already canvassing for candidates for that coaching job. And two names I'm going to throw at you for the coaching job: James Franklin from Penn State, Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator, recruiting coordinator for Dabo Swinney at Clemson. Those are two names to have on your radar. There's also a priority, from what my sources have told me, to hire an African-American head coach if the opportunity presents itself and it's the best candidate. If there's an opportunity, I think you're going to see that, because you have a new sheriff in town in Carol Folt. She's focused on inclusivity, diversity. For the most part, this is a new age at USC. And also, of course, USC has never had a black coach.
Brooks is with us, Sports by Brooks. He's got a brand new web stream that he's doing every day at 9 o'clock local time. Tell people about your stream up on FanCred.
It's called Sports by Brooks on FanCred, and essentially what we've done on sportsbybrooks.com since the beginning of time, breaking stories. Well, all the information, all the craziness that we've had on sportsbybrooks.com, now that party, we've taken that party, Steve. And by the way, you're on the list for that party. We'll let you in, all right?
All right. I was watching today. I'm like, these guys are talking betting. Why am I not on there? Come on now.
So, the party now is at Sports by Brooks on FanCred. Now, FanCred is a mobile streaming app. This is something you watch on your phone or your iPad. And you jump on an app. You download this mobile app, FanCred. You can jump in there, and it is a community. It's a little bit like Twitter, and you can interact with fans of teams that you're into. And also, what's really cool on this show is, if you're watching me, Steve, on your phone, we can actually bring you up on screen with me. And so you can be a split screen. I can be a split screen for viewers, right. Watchers. You can ask me questions, make observations, and we can bring you on with the guest. So this is kind of a proprietary thing that's absolutely never been done in the context of fans, which is what makes it really cool. So go to FanCred on your phone, download the app, Google Play, or your iOS store, and watch the show, dude, because we're bringing you, it's like what I'm talking to you about right now, that's nowhere, dude. This is proprietary stuff.
Last one, I'm going to bring something from out of left field. I hope you saw it. Did you see the exchange between Ryan Clark and Paul Feinbaum on ESPN the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that? Because that got real edgy, and it seemed to kind of be the African-American players saying, you know what, you're dissing a black quarterback, old white guy.
Well, I think that I don't know if I would – I think it came off on that way superficially. But the comments that Paul Feinbaum made were absurd, were ridiculous. Cam Newton has proven over the years that he only cares about Cam Newton. Here's the thing. Go to Google and Google Cam Newton. This is what I did, Steve. After I saw that, I went to Google and I Googled Cam Newton charity. And guess what? There were dozens and dozens of results, not duplicated results, of Cam Newton being involved in charitable causes, being out in the community, engaged with children, engage with people less privileged than himself. I was actually kind of blown away. It educated me about the kind of person that Cam Newton is off the field. The other thing that bothers me about Cam Newton is here's a guy who is being hobbled by injuries, all right? You've got a foot that's serious. You had an arm injury that they have now surgically repaired twice, yet Ron Rivera downplays it. Ron Rivera, in my opinion, doesn't give a damn about the long-term ability of Cam Newton to be a good quarterback or a great quarterback. Cam Newton can't do the things that he has done in the past because he's injured, period. And I don't think enough people, or any people for that matter, are pointing out, look, folks, it's not a matter of efficacy. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of injury. And that's where I get heated about Cam Newton, because I don't hear a lot of people saying that. Maybe you guys are saying it, but if you are, you're the only one.
Yeah, we're big Cam defenders. Hey, Brooks, we appreciate it. Thanks for the inside scoop on the USC situation. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Steve.
There you go, Sports by Brooks, at Sports by Brooks. Up on Twitter, we come back. We'll address that Cam Newton stuff and Paul Feinbaum against Ryan Clark, and also get you ready for this weekend with a bunch of picks as R.J. Bell is up in about 15 minutes.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Funny, we talked about Maryland. I'm buying Maryland. I like them, but I think they're for real. I like what they've done, and I'm back in the Terps.
Throws for the end zone. Caught! Out of bounds! Incomplete! And Temple has held again!
Now, back to the Golden Nugget Las Vegas for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
Man, sports gambling ain't easy. I took it in the shorts last night with Houston and Tulane. I got froggy, and I was picking the over in the Thursday night football game. Never even sniffed it with Tennessee and Jackson. That's our friend, poor Doug Kazarian. 2 weeks ago, was anti-Maryland. They destroy Syracuse. Then he flips. He's back on Maryland. And then Temple beats Maryland outright. So
I can't believe he would overreact like that. Doesn't sound like him at all.
You love these bites when we play them back.
Oh, they're great. And I've been friends with him for so long, and just I get the text from him. Like, can you believe, like, you gonna believe how bad this team is? And then all of a sudden, like, you believe how bad or how good this team is? Like, no, you just said how bad they were.
I know.
You just completely lost your own sense of them that quickly?
Well, I mean, Mark, you know, as a football player, like, week to week is different, especially as a college football player. Their kids, they're up and down. Things change. They get high on the hog, and they get a little spoiled, and they lose their focus from week to week.
Yeah, you're right. These are 18, 19-year-old kids, and anything can happen. I didn't think Temple was going to go there and, pull out the win either. You know, Maryland played really good the week before that.
Yep.
They put up major numbers.
But the way I – college even more – well, college much more than the NFL. I look at spots in college, and if there are sandwich spots between two big games, if there's a giant victory 1 week, man, you can just expect a team to be down the next. It's generally the way it works. It doesn't always work out that way, but – it's a roller coaster of emotions throughout the season. So RJ Bell's coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll go around the National Football League. We wanted to bring you in on a story that we talked about. Adam, was this yesterday that the story came out about Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And who was it? Raekwon McMillan.
Yep.
Dolphins player. What did he say? A ref said to him about an encounter with Brady?
So he said on a legal hit with no penalty, he hit Brady just as he threw, didn't put his body weight on him, didn't hit his head, did nothing legal, illegal, didn't even get a flag. And the referee said, hey, man, stay off Tom. So I saw it both ways. First of all, everybody is freaking out and reacting like, oh, they're trying to protect Tom Brady. And I'm sure there is a part of that. I also feel like refs just have, like, small talk on the field sometimes. And maybe we overreact to exactly what they said, and that's not really what they meant. It just seems such a weird thing. And, of course, with Tom Brady, you know everything's going to be blown up, and everybody's going to want to believe that the refs are just looking out for him.
Yeah, I don't think they came to his defense like that. Hey, stay off of Tom Brady. Because I've always had conversations with the referees, but it was never – I never heard a referee say, hey, stay off this guy, or hey, lay off this guy.
There was never a quarterback you felt like they were protecting.
Never. Never. I'm sure Tom Brady always gets the pass. Everybody's always on Tom. But that's the way the game is now. And I don't see – I can bet the house that the referee did not say lay off of Tom. Not unless he hooked him up with a female on the side from his wife. You know his wife is smoking. And we ain't talking about – we ain't talking about smoking that stuff here in Vegas either.
No.
Or did you ever feel like you were getting a raw deal versus a certain receiver?
I always think I'm gonna say yes, because I was a guy that every guest we come on show, they always say how much I used to talk trash. So I was a trash talker. So referees did not like me. So I always tried to look up the referee's birthday, see if he had kids. And before the game, I used to always go up to the referee before the game, say, hey, how you doing? Happy birthday. Hey, how's your wife doing? I call her by her first name. So I was always trying to rub the referees in the right direction. But it never worked. The referees didn't like me. They said I talked too much trash.
Isn't that kind of dangerous, though? Especially, like, at that point, maybe information is not updated as quickly as it is now, and it's not readily available. You'd be like, hey, man, how's your wife? Like, you mean since she died last year?
Well, it was a crazy – I had a crazy scenario in San Francisco. I was cursing this referee out really bad. Come to find out, the girl I was dating, she worked with his wife. So that didn't end up really gross. She's like, you know what? I almost got fired because of what you did on Sunday. That was a true story. And I called that referee every name in the book. I talked about his wife. It was really, really bad. And obviously, he probably wouldn't have told his wife, like, this freaking guy, McMillan, is terrible.
That's part of the game.
That's what I said.
Adam, what's your response to that? You know what, refs? You're supposed to be a robot. Deal with it.
Exactly. I've said that many, many times. You're not supposed to hear anything. You're not supposed to react to anything. I can say whatever I want to you, and you're supposed to be stoic. Don't even react. That's why I want robot refs anyway. Yeah. Don't be a human out there. You're not a human.
They might malfunction.
Yeah, you're the same level of humanity to me as that yard marker. That, you know, tall thing with the circle on top, the down and distance thing,
like,
you're
like,
the same.
Like Mark said, they are human beings, and you do have to coddle them. Otherwise, they could go against you, which that should not be the case at all. All right, the other thing, I think there's an intense bias against the giant fatties on the defensive line around the NFL. Because here's the deal now. We saw in that Bears-Broncos game last week, we saw two roughing the passer, or whatever, personal fouls, because there were, you know, big guys laid on top
terrible
of the quarterback.
Calls.
They put their weight down on him. And my case is, wait, so if Mark McMillan goes in there, what'd you play at? What was your weight?
I was .155.
Yeah, you're 155 pounds. You think they're going to call that on you? Mark's got his weight all over the quarterback. No. The giant fat guy on the defensive line, especially the nose tackle, it's just going to look worse.
I don't know what they expect these guys to do. They're going 100 miles an hour. You're 350-plus pounds. What are they supposed to do, levitate in midair? Just get the quarterback and just start levitating.
And you see him, like, going back to the McMillan hit where McMillan comes in and hits Tom Brady. It was basically like a chest bump, and then immediately throws his hands up. I didn't do anything. And it was the same thing with the Bears defensive lineman. It was like as soon as he knocked the quarterback to the ground, he got up and his hands up, and they're like, nope, flag.
He did. He almost slowed down his route to the quarterback to make sure that he didn't hit him hard. And then as soon as he bumped him, he just backed up immediately. He's like, I'm not touching him, I'm not landing on him, nothing.
There's going to be a play, mark my word on it, right? There's going to be a play this year where you've got one of these bigger quarterbacks who's 6'4", 6'5", and goes 230, and a lineman comes in and is going to try to just bump him hard, and he's going to get away from it and complete a pass.
It's going to happen.
Because they're so afraid to commit a penalty now.
It's going to happen.
Well, we see it. I've talked about it, and I've seen it more and more. And this is another one, like the thing I was ranting about earlier, that I keep saying it's going to happen more, and it's happening more, and people are ignoring it. When they're calling penalties, if a quarterback is running toward the sideline, they call a penalty if you hit him two steps inbounds.
Yep.
Inbounds. They're calling penalties. And now quarterbacks are tiptoeing toward the sideline. Oh, you can't hit me. You can't hit me. Then I'm going to steal 3 yards right down the side. Like, no, you can't allow that.
We should come back as quarterbacks and wideouts.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
Remember, you played in the NFL. We capped out. Yeah. Well, me, probably Pop Warner. Adam capped out in high school as a very talented but less than aggressive tackle who often had his rec specs fogging up.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good setup. I did have a lot of talent, not a lot of aggression or ambition.
Oh. Meek inherit the earth. That doesn't work as a tackle. Adam was the victim of pancakes. The wrong kind of pancakes. Yeah.
He's got the ones with syrup on them. Huh?
Stand in the way. I would just stand in the way and hope that I would block somebody enough by letting them run over me.
NFL Week 3 is on the way. We got these gigantic spreads. RJ Bell is going to tell us on the way back. If you play the Jets and the Dolphins money line, two-team parlay, you got to see the payoff for this.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Back here, Golden Nugget. On a Friday, Cofield, Mark McMillan, Life is Beautiful crowd, Adam Hill along as well. RJ Bell is up with us at RJ in Vegas. Mm-hmm. RJ, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, boys. How you doing? I'm a fan of the Nugget.
Who is it, bro?
You guys are down there. Tony does such a good job with the, he was one of the real innovators, I thought, coming out with those summer college football lines. A lot of imitators now, but him and Aaron down there led the way.
How much do you guys, especially Fezzik, lean on the summer numbers, the games of the year?
Well, at the time, the true originators, and let's think for a minute what a world opener means. It's saying, and that's what they did, I think in recent years it was upwards of 250 games they were opening, if I recall, at the Nugget. But what they're saying is we are going to give the sharpest bettors in the world, anyone in the world, are virgin numbers. We don't have any idea what these numbers are going to end up. We just know what we think they should be, and if you disagree, you can bet us. Now, that takes guts. You know why? Because you can be right 90% of the time, and what do people do? They pass. Okay, fine, good number. And then that 10th game, you're wrong. Boom, limit. Right? So it's like the great line in Heat. Remember John Voight? Is talking about how much Pacino loves De Niro. And he goes, he thinks you're a superstar. It's this, it's that. He goes, maybe you should just quit because you've got to be right every time. He's only got to be right once. So as hard as I am, you know, the cop's going to get you, right? If you break the law one time and get caught. So to me, I'm hard on a lot of bookies. And I would make the case, Steve, and I'd like to hear you say this if you want. It's up to you. But 5-6 years ago, I started saying Vegas bookies, most of them, not really being as ambitious as they should be. And you were tight-lipped. You're a businessman. I get it. But in hindsight, not talking about anyone in particular, the opposite with the Nugget, because I think they were very innovative at the time and still are, that if you see what Jersey's done in the last year plus, it's like, wow, look how much innovation once the market opened up and everyone wasn't being safe, there's been in the industry just in 15 months. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there's been, I think, a little more aggression from Vegas. But I'll give you an example where I feel like we're falling behind in Nevada, and that's this story that came out of New Jersey this week where there's a guy, well, let's start in Houston. A mattress dude in Houston wants to offer rebates if the Astros win the World Series, right? So he lost $13 million in 2017 when he did it. So rumors are that he went to Jersey, not to Nevada. He went to Jersey to try to basically get his own insurance and bet $5 million or more as insurance. And now New Jersey is kind of mulling over whether to take it or not. And I was on the air Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm like, wait, what's happened to us? Why isn't he coming here to put down the big money?
Because he came here in the past and he saw how stubborn the bookies were. Now, let's be fair.
Right.
A bookie can only be as aggressive as his bosses let him be.
Exactly.
The board of directors, the president, whatever the structure is on the org chart, whoever he directly reports to. You know, and that's why it was famous. And obviously, you know, later in his career there were issues unrelated, but Steve Wynn was famous. He let his guys you know, do their thing. And his sportsbook guys. And, you know, Vaquero when he was at the Mirage. I mean, the whole Tyson and Buster Douglas story, the 42-1, the documentary on it, it all is only in the zeitgeist for one reason. Jimmy Vaquero had the guts to be the only book in Vegas to put the number up when he did for that fight. And make and put up a fair number. Because if he would have put up 18-1, we wouldn't be talking about it because no one would have bet it.
Right.
He put up a fair number. And then, you know, that takes both the guts of the bookmaker, but it also takes the guts of the owner to give the bookmaker that kind of free rein. Now, if you lose long-term, you're not going to ever be okay as a bookie. So you got to win, but the thing is, when do you win? So let's say, for example, and this is important, and I'll say succinctly, but let's say there was something, the odds of it happening were 100-1. Whatever it is, it doesn't even matter. And I was able to get down at 120-1, okay? Meaning I could get plus 120, or in this case, plus, you know, 120-1 on a 100-1 shot. Well, you know if we did a million reps, I would have a lot of money, right? But I could lose 50, 60, 70 of the first of those bets, or I could lose the first 200 of those bets. But in the long run, I would certainly win. The question is, if you have certainty of winning, like the bookies do in many spots, are you willing to take losses for some period of time to increase your action? And since most of Nevada's books have always been a week-to-week kind of thing, instead of maybe quarter-to-quarter, if you would just say, we're not going to worry about it, just tell us how we did at the end of the quarter, I think that it would free up some of these bookies. But let's be candid. The bookies who wanted that kind of action left Vegas, went offshore, went wherever, and the bookies who were comfortable sitting back eating pistachios and collecting a big check are the ones that stayed here. Not in every case, but I think there was a bias towards inaction here in Nevada.
Talk about this. RJ Bell's with us. Let's talk about this crazy week of favorites. Dallas is now 22 against Miami. New England is 21 against the Jets. How historic is this?
Well, this is interesting and really fascinating. Up until this week, last 30 seasons, three decades. I mean, you were a young man 30 years ago, Steve.
Yes,
think about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
There have been five favorites greater than three touchdowns. This week, there's two. So 5 in 30 years, 2 on Sunday. So, yeah, this would be, and I had a little fun on Twitter with this, if you bet $100 on the Jets to win and the Dolphins to win, you win $25,500. It'd be the biggest parlay two-teamer in NFL history. And you know something? I kind of baited some people. I put it out. And they were going, oh, so square, so square. And it's like, yeah, it is. But you know something? I don't know if it's square, but it's a long shot. You know something? It's massively better than the lottery. So in that bet, the whole percentage is between 6 and 7% or so, a little bit more than 11 to 10, 6 or 7%. So really, it should pay like $27,200, and it's paying $25,500 or whatever. Okay, so now, on the other hand, the lottery takes out 50%. So like a drunk baby flipping coins, picking two-team moneyline parlays that are jumbo or three or four or five-teamers, big payoff parlays, is better off by far than any lottery anywhere on the planet. So am I saying play the lottery? No. Am I saying play those big parlays? No. But I'm saying if you want to bet a little to win a lot, it's so much better to play those parlays, even randomly, than it would be to play the lottery.
I actually do agree with you, but I'll throw one caveat.
How could you disagree, Adam? It's math.
Except for one little thing. The lottery balls don't care what gets drawn. The Dolphins are trying to lose.
Okay, but then if you assume the marketplace is wrong and the pricing's wrong, then you just make money making a jumbo bet the other way. That's all one teamer. But I trust the market's going to be right most of the time. So I'm saying randomly picking, and let's say the market's wrong 10% of the time. Well, if you're randomly picking, half the time you're going to be on the right side of the wrong number, half the time you're going to be on the wrong side. And obviously, if you have any skill picking, you can judiciously pick and maybe be a little bit better than a drunk baby flipping coins. So I agree. I'm not saying this is profitable. I'm saying this is so much better than the lottery.
Of course.
RJ Bell's with us at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com, 5 days a week nationally, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. Game of the week from a glamour standpoint, Kansas City 5.5 against Baltimore.
I love this game. You know, I actually, you know, it's funny, I only tweet about 7 or 8 things a week these days, but this was one of them. Is I kind of thought of this game like a movie trailer, like deception, duplicity, right? Not the next movie, but Ravens at KC. Now, what do I mean? Both coaches, I think, have a massive amount of surprises, many surprises up their sleeve. First off, Kansas City, last 3 years, weeks 1 through 5, so early third of the season, a little bit less, right? 12-0 straight up, 11-0-1 undefeated against the spread. Okay, why? Andy Reid, he's a play designer. He sits in the off season, drinking pina coladas perhaps, and making plays. And with Mahomes especially, wowza, right? Now, Harbaugh, really good coach, but what we know is he spent the whole offseason getting Lamar Jackson schematically flexible. Whatever you want to say, he has a few tricks up his sleeve, and he hasn't really been able to or needed to use any of them because he had the Dolphins locked up in week one. And he ran the ball 20, was it 20 or 30, Fez? You remember? I can't remember. It was either 20 or 30 extra more times than he passed, right? So run, run, run. And then he passed more than he ran against Arizona. What the heck? What do we expect? And does he have anything he was just waiting on for Andy Reid after they beat him last year? Let me say it, yes. So to me, I think both offenses have a big advantage. I love the over in the game. Fez and I have a bet on it. He liked the over. Well, I'm sorry, the under, we bet, you know, on the podcast. But then today, after I did my handicap again and I uncovered this number that I hadn't known about Reed, I go, Fez, you want more? He goes, okay, because on the radio we have a $100 limit on the bet, so it's 100. Then after on the break, he goes, I didn't want that. He goes, I'm starting to be confused about this. So I got Fez second-guessing himself on this one, over KC. It's true.
Yep, twisting them and turning them. tell me if I am a moron here for this logic, because I'm gonna go against the common belief that Mike Tomlin can't coach. I want the Steelers plus 6.5 of the Niners. Am I wrong?
I love the Steelers. In fact, this is my best bet of the week. It will be in our Super Contest. And by the way, 60% on the season. Feeling pretty good about that.
Nice, nice.
Here's the thing. Tomlin did not lose his first game entering the game with a losing record. So let's think what that means. 0-1, you have a losing record, right? 3-4, you have a losing record, right? So in all the games Tomlin entered with a losing record, it was his seventh season before he lost his first game. It's almost incomprehensible. He was 7-0 from 2007 to 2012. In his entire time, he's been 70% in those spots, okay? Now, the rest of the league, entering the game with a losing record, they win 41% of the time. So if there's anything Tomlin does well, he takes a team that's losing and turns that ship around, motivationally, whatever. That's point one. Point two, what did the Steelers, and I'm asking this not rhetorically, what did the Steelers tell us about their optimism the rest of the season when they traded their number one pick next year?
Yep, they're not giving up.
And they're optimistic.
Yep.
Right? Because if they needed a quarterback, wouldn't this have been the perfect time? Because let me ask you guys, what would you put the over and under if you didn't believe what I believe? You just say Steelers with a backup quarterback. What would their over-under be for wins on the season?
7.5, 7.
That seems high. Fez's number and my number both were 4.5. So
really? But,
wow. Well, I mean, remember, they're already 0-2.
Yeah.
Right? So even if they win 5 of the next 14 games, you know,
point.
They'd slightly, you know. And again, maybe the number's 5.5. I don't know, 6.5. But they still would have had a pick 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, like a really high pick.
Yep.
And instead they said, give us a guy that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say he's a superstar, the Dolphins guy. So I think this is a strong statement. We got our quarterback. And sometimes a team will tell you more than any or most people realize about what they're thinking about things by the actions they take.
Hey, last one, RJ. RJ Bell's with us. We always talk about quarterback-to-quarterback value. You know, we're just talking about Mason Rudolph. Obviously, that's a big downgrade for the books. from Big Ben. What do you think the number is in terms of value on Drew Brees down to Teddy Bridgewater as Seattle's laying 4.5 at home against the Saints?
I think there's a real error in the number. So Fez felt like Brees was worth about 6 points. And I was like, man, that seems like a lot. And he said, yeah, but, you know, I don't think Bridgewater is very good. And then as we dug into the numbers, Bridgewater is not very good. I mean, he had a great first preseason for the Jets. And you might remember that, Steve.
Yep.
But after he went to the Saints last year, he started game 17. Now, we had them, the Saints, laying 7, if I remember, in the Super Contest. They lost the game straight up to a Carolina team without Cam. And you might say, well, they didn't care, right? The game was, you know, they had their seed for the play. No, I think they cared a lot because you got Teddy Bridgewater, a starter in waiting, and you think this is a chance to stretch your legs, to really optimize, really see what you can do, you know, 2 years or whatever after your injury. Well, it was horrible. This preseason, horrible. Mop-up duty after Brees got hurt last week, horrible. We haven't seen anything good from him except for one preseason since he's been injured, and that was the furthest preseason back. I'm a skeptic, and you look at this line. Seattle has a 4-point home field, the biggest in the NFL. 4.5 implies that the Saints with Bridgewater are an equal team to Seattle with their starting quarterback. Who thinks that? Well, apparently the betting market does. I don't understand it.
RJ, we appreciate it. Have a winning weekend. We'll talk to you.
Steve, let's be candid. A plus or A?
A plus.
I'll take it. Thank you.
I'll take it. It's the best you can get. All right, there you go. RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas on Twitter, and you can hear him nationally 5 days a week on Fox Sports Radio National every day at 3 o'clock. We play that show on 920 The Game.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. 1, 2, 3.
Home of the Raiders fan.